I'm Pastor Gary. I'm the pastor here at Brighton Heights. And so glad you made it. We do want to talk about true riches. What are true riches? Man, how many feel like money burns a hole in your pocket? Right? Yeah, some of it, other people set the fire. Sometimes you set the fire yourself, right? You know, the Powerball, just so you know, did not get hit last night. Okay, so it's over $1.6 billion in the Powerball. And some of you are thinking, I got my retirement plan, I'm going to hit the Powerball. That's not going to happen. Okay, that's not going to happen. But you know, all of us, though, one time or another, through all these years, you've thought about what would you do with all that money? And what good things would I do with all that money? You know, what are the great things that I would do? And we've all done that. And all the great things that you would do that you don't do now. And I'm not going to go there. But I just want to remind you and let you know, too, personally, for my wife and I, we have so many things that are better than money. So many things. We're so blessed. And money can't buy it. I've been married for 41 years, and every one of those years has been good. Every one of them has been great. One year better than the other. My wife, Donna, she's serving your children right now down a lower level. She's been doing that, man, for 40 years, it seems like. You know, since we got saved, since we started serving Jesus, we got saved just a couple months before, a couple months before we got married. You know, so we've been serving God. I'm so blessed that way. I have 6 kids. They're all married. Them and their spouses serve God. Everybody's healthy. Got 7 grandkids. More on the way. Bless God. But even more importantly than having health and kids that are doing well financially is they're serving Jesus. Because Jesus said, what good is it? What good is it if you gain the world and lose your soul? What good is it? It doesn't mean anything. They're serving God. I am blessed. Money can't buy that. Money cannot buy any of that. And I have the honor of serving God in this church family. And I've seen God just do many things. I'm honored to serve God. I'm honored to lay down my life. I'm honored to lay down my time for you. And it's a blessing. Money can't buy that satisfaction, right? Money can't do it. And also, I mean, my life has been radically transformed by Jesus Christ. Changed and transformed. How many can agree with that? Not my life, your life, I mean, okay? Your life been transformed radically. Have you ever thought about how radical your life is now in Jesus Christ compared to how you were? For some of you, it literally is a 180. It's a 180 for some of you, right? Man, again, think about that. Think about what God has done. Money can't buy that. Money can't. And not only that, listen, not only am I thankful for what God's done in my life, I'm thankful for what I've seen him do in other people's lives. I've seen some of your lives transformed by the power of God. That money can't buy that. Nothing can compare to that. I got a purpose to live for. And you know one of the best things of all? I don't even fear death. You know, death, come on. I am going to live in eternity in heaven. I have no fear. You know, a scary person to the devil is one who doesn't fear death. Okay, I do like making the devil uncomfortable. All right? You know, he's made a career out of making you uncomfortable, right? Wouldn't you like to make him uncomfortable? Okay, well, remember that your eternity is secure, just like his is, okay? But we got to recognize this. You have things that money cannot buy. There are true riches in our lives. You know, but listen, let's be honest. I have to be deliberate in focusing upon that reality that I am blessed, that I have riches in God. Because, man, my mind, I get sidetracked so easy. Sidetracked. I get knocked off. I mean, you guys know that about me anyway, but I get sidetracked. What does sidetracked mean? What's sidetracked? It's when you get diverted from the activity or subject you're concentrating on onto something less important. Sidetracked. I know what's right. I'm doing the right thing, but man, I get sidetracked, and this is something that happens to me all the time. And I have to be focused. I got to be focused. I got to stay reminded. That's why we celebrate communion. You got to remember who he is, right? We were just singing. We remember who he is, and we remember what he's done, right? And I remember how good he is. But I've got to stay focused. And I don't know there's any area we get off track easier than when it comes to provision, when it comes to resources, when it comes to money. We worry. We worry way too much about these things. We worry about provision in the present. We worry about provision in the future. We worry about past decisions and consequences and how are we going to survive. And not only that, then we, on the other side of that coin, is we worry that we don't have all the things that the world has. Right? I'm in the world. I should own a home. I'm a failure if I don't own a home. You know, we had all these different thoughts, or I should have this, or I should be able to make that vacation. I have a bucket list. Don't ask, I have thoughts about bucket lists, okay? They're ridiculous. They're ridiculous. For you to say, I'm going to do this before I die, lay it down already. Listen. Heaven is going to be so much greater than any experience or sight you can see on earth. Stop it already. Stop it. All right, man, be set free from, I have a golden bucket list. Like, I want to smuggle Bibles into China. Okay, I want to go in closed nations with the gospel. Okay, that's a bucket list. Not I want to go and see the Caribbean. Now that's not a bucket. No. I'm sorry I broke your dreams today. But you know, truth sets you free. Amen. All right. So again, to God, so set us free, man, because we get sidetracked. So, are you like me? Do you get sidetracked easy? That's why I use notes. All right. I got to use no. Why? Because I got to stay focused. We have to remember who He is. We got to remember what we're living for. Just like today, you're being reminded in worship, He is in control. He's in control. No matter where you are. So again, man, God has true riches for us. I want you to walk in those riches. I don't want you to get sidetracked anymore. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the truth that we have. God, we want to have everything that you've given us. I do want it all. I want all that you've promised me. And Father God, I want to be one, Lord, who doesn't get sidetracked when it comes to my resources. I don't want to be sidetracked by worry. I don't want to get sidetracked by coveting things that the world has. Open us up, God, that we could be set free today. In Jesus' name, they said, amen. Amen. Listen, true riches can be obtained by every disciple when applying these three principles, okay? A stewardship mindset, a shrewd plan. Say shrewd. I just like that word, shrewd. Shrewd, a shrewd plan. Not just a plan, a shrewd plan, and a heart set on eternity. Heart set on eternity. See, we gotta remember, we don't own anything. You know, if I stood up here and said, and I was giving a report for our church family, Bridge City Church family, I said, you know, we brought in a lot of money. We've been so blessed. We brought in all this money. But I want you to know, I really don't know what we did with it. You know, it just kind of went somewhere. But next year, we plan on getting even more money. And I don't know where it's going to go, but we're going to get a lot of money. Praise God. Would you be satisfied with that report? Why? Right? Think about it. Right? Because you know why. Like, look, we trusted you with that. There's a stewardship entrusted to myself. I'm one of the elders of the church. There's a stewardship entrusted. You expect something, right? Right? You don't want us to stand up and say, well, we just don't know where that $1 million went. Right? You would not be satisfied. But yet we don't think God should hold us accountable for what we did with our money. See, God is the one that we ought to recognize. He owns everything. He owns all that we have. All that we have. And I want to be one. I want to be one who's going to be a steward. You know, a steward. Because God's going to, just like you expect in January, February, we do our business report, you expect an accounting for the monies that you gave. Well, don't you think then God should expect an accounting of you? Right? Man, it got quiet all of a sudden. Okay. See, we're stewards managing God's money. That is reality. Here's Jesus speaking in Luke 16. We're just going to look at the 11th verse. We're going to tear this apart here in a couple minutes. But Jesus said, if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? If I can't trust you with this money, who's going to trust you with the real thing? And again, just trying to define what are true riches. And there's lots of definitions. This is just one that we came up with. You know, true riches is to have Jesus' presence. Have Jesus, like, listen, hopefully you experienced today his presence, right? Tell me, was that rich, right? Man, his presence, to have his presence. How about peace? Peace of mind. What value can you put on peace of mind in your daily walk, your daily life with God, your daily life in the world? peace of mind. These are true riches that he has with us. How about power? See, because he didn't just say, I'll be with you and keep you happy. He's saying, I'm empowering you. I'm giving you power to go and help other people. I'm giving you power to have a positive effect on those around you. All right? How many like being a blessing to others? All right? I mean, reality is you like giving more than receiving. Okay, right, you do. If you're not there yet, give God a minute, he'll get you there. Right, because he created us to have more joy in giving than receiving. He created us that way. You want to give. Well, he's empowering you to be able to have a positive effect on people around you. Christian, non-Christian, doesn't matter. That's what he's done. He says, man, this is the true riches of God. He also says that you have provision, that you're taken care of. He says, I'll care for you. I'll keep you. You don't have to worry about those things. Okay? And then, of course, protection. I will protect you. I'm not worried. I wasn't worried about COVID then. I'm not worried about COVID now. Right? I go to the third world a lot. God keeps me. I mean, I'm not foolish, but God keeps me. He protects us. Right? And again, and there's joy in all of this. These are true riches that we have in God. These are available. We're walking and experiencing many of these even now. But one thing we need to recognize, though, is that we look at the verse, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with? What's that saying? Listen, it says that the way you handle your resources, the way you handle your money, affects your spiritual health. It affects us. That's a reality. We can't get away from that. Right? Again, these things matter. These things matter to God. Our ability to bring our money under control is part of our spiritual development. Next slide, please. Okay? Again, that's reality. Again, we need to control it. We need to be people who see that this affects you. If God says, if I can't trust you with these things, you're not going to experience the other. And so many of us, we wonder, why can't I get consistency in my walk with God? Why can't I consistently have peace of mind? Well, could it be because you're not doing those first steps? Right? So we don't realize that, see, misbehavior, disobedience, not trusting God in one area affects all the areas. It affects us. Okay, and so, man, if I'm not trusting him here, how can I trust him there? Okay, and so it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us. And again, you're either controlling your money or your money's controlling you. Right? Again, that's reality here. And again, you get sidetracked so easy. I get sidetracked. Man, I don't want to be sidetracked anymore. I mean, these are Bible facts here. Okay, look, this is Bible facts. More than 500 verses on prayer in the Bible, more than 500 verses on faith, over 2,000 verses on money and possessions. 2,000 verses. I mean, and we see Jesus spoke about it in 15% of his teachings. Money matters. Obviously it matters. Now, why do you think God put in the Bible all this more discussion about possessions and resources and money than anything else? Because it affects us. He knows how we're wired. He knows these could be issues for us. All right? And if anything, you know, people, again, because we talk about stewardship once a year. We do a series, a couple weeks on. We're doing 2 weeks this year. Okay, we do that typically every year. And again, I do have people at times come up to me, because I've been doing this a long time. You can tell by the hair. But you know, and people will say, man, you talk about money all the time. No, we don't. No, we don't. And listen, if anything, we don't talk about it enough. Obviously, this is important. This must be important to God. Why? Because we keep stumbling over it. We stumble over this. And it's not new in our generation. It's not new because we're prosperous Americans. It's been true since the beginning. Right? We have issues, and God wants us to learn how to do this. We got to see what the scripture says. We can't just say, oh, it's another talk about money. No, disciples listen. Disciples hear and they look to apply and learn what's going on. In this same text, we're not going to take time to look there. If you looked at verse 14, it says the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they heard Jesus teaching this and they scoffed at him. And it says because they were lovers of money. Okay, money controlled them. They didn't control money. And they scoffed at. Don't be one who scoffs. Don't be one who scoffs. Be wiser than that. Be wiser. I was just talking to Tim before the service starts, just thinking about Jesus' statement about rich men, where he said, how difficult it is for a rich man to enter heaven. That's profound. That is profound. How difficult somebody with riches. It's like, why? Why is it hard? Because money is a problem. If you don't process it right, if you don't stay in that stewardship place, man, it can jack you up, right? That's what happens. So God, give us the right heart. Let us see this. Man, I want to take it. I want to learn from it that I'm not going to get caught up in this. Let's look back at verse 1 in Luke chapter 16. Jesus is telling a story here. Let's read the first couple verses. Okay, and talking about stewardship, says Jesus says there was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, what's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you're going to be fired. Be fired. And of course, here we want to make note again of that next slide, please, of what is a manager, a steward. He's a household manager. He handles one another's affairs. You ever go in? I'm in Panera Bread a lot. You go to Panera Bread, it has the name Panera, but then it usually, in the window, it has manager. All the manager does is manage. They don't own anything. They manage. That's what we are. We're managers of God's affairs. He's the master. Everything you have belongs to Jesus. Everything that I have comes from him. It's all his. Okay, and Jesus here, again, he's speaking here in this text, and he's using a bad manager as an example for us. A bad manager. And what's happening here, of course, is this guy's wasting the owner's resources. You know, we have a family business. I own a family business. If I hear somebody wasting resources of mine, that gets a reaction. I get angry. It's not yours, and I'm paying you to take care of it, right? And you're wasting it. I get angry. You'd get angry too. Do you ever have anything returned to you broken? Or how about this? How about it never got returned, right? You've definitely had that one. Okay, but the point is, listen, is you get upset. They're abusing your resources. So as Jesus is speaking this, and we look into the context, God's not happy about that. He's not happy about us wasting his resources. Because reality is, everything in my bank account, everything in my retirement account belongs to him. Okay? And at times God says to me, Gary, I want to talk to you about my money in your account. Okay? Because it's all his. It's all his money. Right? So I gotta get this right heart here. I gotta get the right heart. Okay, so God's not happy. God's not happy. It's not this guy's money. And I walk in authority with what I do with my money, but I'm under his authority. He's given me authority. Gary, you control it. You're the steward, but I'm going to judge you on what you do with it. So God, help us. Help us. I do not want to be one who wastes his money. Because I think about it. He says you're going to give a report. And catch two. He's not just asking you to give a report on your money. I believe he says, hey, I want a report on what are you doing with the gifts I gave you? Like, you're really gifted with people. What are you doing with that? Right? Are you like using that? Let me see your calendar. Let me see your time. What are you doing with your time? Right, he's looking at all those things. Why? Because listen, every breath you have is borrowed from heaven. It's all borrowed from heaven. And none of us have anything guaranteed. So what am I going to do with it? How am I going to be judged? But everything belongs to God. Let's run through the list. My car belongs to God. Right? I got a couple of them, right? They belong to God. Your home belongs to God. Everything in your home belongs to God. Your favorite pair of shoes, your favorite outfit, your favorite video game, okay? Right, everything belongs to him. Your bank accounts, okay? Your kids belong to him. Now listen, basically you get lent your kids for about 6,600 days till they turn 18. You got 6,600 days with your kids, okay? And then he kind of says, you no longer have that influence anymore. It's very little, right? Your calendar belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. It's all his. God, help me catch that reality. I'm just a manager. Let's read on. Verse 3, the manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches. I'm too proud to beg. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, how much do you owe him? The man replied, I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil. The manager told him, take the bill, quickly change it to 400 gallons. And how much do you owe my employer? He asked the next man. I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat, was the reply. Here, the manager said, take the bill, change it to 800 bushels. The rich man, now listen to this, the rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of light. And this is the text that has caused confusion. It's been caused confusion for us. We just want to walk through this and just see what's Jesus speaking, because there's truth here. Because first it said, like, Jesus commends him. Now, Jesus does not commend his dishonesty. He commends his shrewdness. He commends him for being shrewd, right? He commends him for being wise. You know, the manager had a plan. He had a plan. I'm going to exchange my integrity and my honor for a job. I'm going to give this up. That's what I'm exchanging. I'm going to do something here. I'm going to give this up for a job. He was shrewd. He was shrewd. Jesus doesn't commend his dishonesty. He says he's shrewd. He acted wisely. He acted sensibly. You know, again, the man in the story, he was obtaining friends. He was obtaining favor of others, right? In this life. He wasn't a man who was eternally minded. He's saying, man, I gotta take care of me and my future. So he took the resources that he had at his disposal and set it up so he, listen, think about it, so he would be taken care of in the future. The master's calling me into account, I gotta take care of my future. They did with their resources to take care of his own future. And Jesus is saying, if only my followers could catch that concept. If they would comprehend that me, the master, is going to come back, and I'm going to ask them to give account for everything I've given them. I'm going to ask them to give an account. And if they were really wise, if they were shrewd, they would take all of their resources, their money, their time, their talents, and they would lay up treasure in heaven that then they would be received into eternity in a good way. That's what he's speaking of here. He's saying, my people are not as shrewd as this guy. They don't get it. They don't get it. And it is reality, isn't it? How many of us are ready for our checkbook to be examined by God to show that we're committed to him in building his kingdom? Right? I mean, that's reality. That's reality. He's saying, Nick, be shrewd. He's saying, we got to be shrewd. We got to think about it. You're only here for, the average of 70, 80 years, right? I'm towards the back end of that now, okay? Right, again, so it said, so I think about these things. I think you should be thinking about these things, all right? Again, am I ready? Have I been a good operator of what God has given me? The dishonest servant was shrewd. He knew he'd be called into account for what he had done and for his life. So he took advantage of his present position to make sure he'd be comfortable in the future. Why don't you and I recognize God wants us to invest in things that are eternal? And I want to take my time, my talent, and my treasure. I want to take these things to prepare for the next life. Prepare for the next life. That's what I plan. That's my heart. That's where I want to be in my life. You know, this guy had a plan. Man, he had a plan. Let me see these guys. I'm going to get these guys forgiven. There was a plan. We need to have a plan, what to do with our finances. And it's called a budget. It's called a budget. Most of us don't operate with one. It actually stuns me how few people actually operate on a budget. You know, we operate more on a wing and a prayer. A wing and a prayer that God is going to take care of us. Where, look, if some of you have heard said that, I think John Maxwell coined the phrase that a budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. Tell your money where to go. Tell your money where to go. That instead of wondering what happened to it at the end of the day. So God wants these things. You know, plans are good. I don't know why we rebel against them. You know, I get my oil changed. I got a little sticker in the window. You know why I get that sticker in the window? Because apart from that sticker, I have no plan to get my oil changed. I have no plan. That's my plan right there. I got the sticker in the window. And I got the other sticker in the lower left side, right for the inspection. Why? Because I don't have a plan to remember those things. But I need to remember. We were talking about how easy it is that we get sidetracked. A budget keeps us from getting sidetracked. And the scripture is so clear on these things too. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 real quick here. Paul speaking, he says, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of your money you have. Don't wait until I get there. What's he saying? Plan. Think about what you're doing with your finance. Think about what you're doing with your resources. Also here in Proverbs, we have a scripture out of Proverbs 6:6. It says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. There's a plan. There's a plan even to save. We should be saving. So once again, we want you to be shrewd on these things. We've done this stuff just haphazardly through our lives. Be shrewd. And we do have that next slide. Listen, you can hit that barcode. You can get a budget plan, a monthly spending plan. Take a picture of that right now. We do have some budget sheets back at the connection point immediately following. You could take a picture of this. Again, if you're going to do these things. Except what shocks me is how few people do a budget. There's something in most of us that says, I don't need it. Okay, and if there's a few of us that don't. There's a few of us that don't. But most of us don't know where our money's going, which means that you should have a plan. I want to follow what's wise. The scripture wants me to be planned out. I'm going to be smart here. Okay, so I want you to be shrewd with a plan. Let's go forward here. I want your heart set on eternity. What's the lesson here? Verse 9. Jesus says, here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they'll welcome you into the eternal home. Okay, use your resources. Use your resources for the purposes of helping others. Help others. This is about other people. It's about other people. I want to do this, God. I want to do this for the benefit of God. You know, if you're part of the family here, you get a couple times a year, you get an update on your giving. And with that giving list, there's a page that tells you all the things that what you were part of that we've accomplished as a church. You know, people that have come to Jesus and benevolence people that have helped and mission things that we've done. Why? Again, we want you to see that means something. When you give, you know, we're following through. We're doing this for the purposes of God, right? You like that accounting. You like hearing those things. Well, man, God, help us see that. But what I want to do is I want to encourage you to stay eternally minded. Stay eternally minded. You're not living for this life. This is what Jesus was talking about. This is the point. You're not living for this life. You're living for the next one. So tell your money what to do in light of that very fact. You know, shrewd budget. Keep it in mind. I mean, I can say this even personally. My wife and I, we're not as prepared for our retirement as I feel we should be. Okay? I can get worked up over that, right? I can worry about those things. But one thing that Dawn and I have talked about, look, Our financial plan is still primarily about the kingdom of God. It's not about our retirement. It's about the kingdom of God. God says he will keep us. He will keep us. I want to be about the kingdom of God. And I want my finances to reflect that. Listen, I want my kids to say you're crazy for how much you give to the kingdom of God. That's the testimony I want my kids to have. I want them to have that of me in my life. Again, not that I completed my bucket list. No, listen, I'm living for something more. And even though I can look at my life and say, man, you should be worried. No, we're going to be faithful stewards of what God has given us, saving. But man, we're going to give to the purposes of God. That is what we live for. That's where the money is. Matthew 6:19, you guys are familiar with this text from Jesus. Jesus says, don't store up treasures here on earth. Why? Moths eat them, rust destroys them. Where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven. Moths and rust cannot destroy. Thieves don't break in and steal it. whatever, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Okay. Again, I'm not living for here. I'm living for the next life. I'm living for the next life. That is what we do. And we're going to, again, we got eternity. We got eternity to celebrate what God's provision and what he has done for us. So hold fast to that reality. I want to see you walk in all the true riches of God. No matter what valley you're in, how dark or deep things seem at the moment, you can walk in true riches. Okay? But we see, though, again, that doesn't just happen. We have to be stewards of what he has given us. Our money, our talents, and our time. All three. God says, what are you doing? What are you doing with these three things? You know, true riches can be obtained by every disciple by applying these principles. Okay, I'm going to be a steward. Man, it does not belong to me. And because I know it doesn't belong to me, I got a shrewd budget. And I stay focused on that by keeping my heart, my head on eternity. It's not about this life. It's about the next one. It's about the next life. So again, so as you contemplate these things and walking in the true riches of God, we all want peace. We all want his presence. We all want his power. We all want his protection. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. To walk in those blessings, those true riches, let's be stewards. Okay, let's pray right now. Father, we come before you, and God, we thank you again, God, for your word. And God, even again, I pray, Lord, because some of these things, they sting us because we recognize, God, I'm not the steward I should be. I'm not the steward I should be. And the great thing about our King, is that you can come before him and say, God, forgive me. Help me change. Help me change, God. Help me not be so worried about the future. Help me not be so worried about tomorrow. God, I need faith. I got to trust that you are who you say you are and that you'll keep me. God, I want my resources, my checkbook and my time, and my calendar, I want it to reflect that I'm a kingdom builder. I'm about you and your purposes. Because then I'm released into true joy and true riches. God, let us see that, God, eternally minded. True riches are before you as we're good stewards. Peace, presence, power for those that trust. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And again, God, just as you spoke in Matthew, you challenged, you said that, life reveals our heart. And if you're here today and your heart's far from God, if you're here today and you're saying, man, I'm not where I need to be. Right now, here at 11:20 in the morning, you're saying, I'm not where I need to be. Maybe I once was, but man, I've fallen back. I've fallen away. God, I need to get back to you. Don't go another day. Don't go another hour. It's time to come back home to a God who gave his life that you could walk in fellowship with him. And if you're here today and that's you, I challenge you to raise your hand saying, I'm not going to go another day. I'm not going to go another day. God, I'm not going to go another day. Lord, it's you. I'm coming back home. If you need that, raise your hand. Thank you, Father. And God, right now, Father, we pray, Lord, because we're here to be a light to the world. And God, we pray right now, Lord Jesus, that God, that you would give us the nations as his inheritance, as it says in Psalm 2:8. God, we want to be a light to this neighborhood. We want to be a light to our community where we live, to our neighbors. We want to be a light to the nations. God, give us the lost for an inheritance. We don't want money. I don't want money. God, I want to see lost people come to life. God, give that to us. And those people you've been praying for, but we've been praying for lost people the past month, call to mind that list again right now. And ask God, say, God, give them to me. Give me those neighbors. Give me that friend. Give me that family member. God, Lord, I want lost people to come to life. That's all I want. I want to see lost people come to life. God, we pray, God, that we can be a harvesting house of people finding life and transformation. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand.